Tom Carkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast for this Friday, going to be mainly cloudy. We will have a high of about 65 today. Kenosha right now, 66, 61 in Burlington, Milwaukee, 67, and it's 67 degrees in Racine. Members of the Racine County Executive Committee and the Health and Human Development Committee met for several hours last night, talking to officials for three Illinois nursing home operations deemed the best offers made for the Ridgewood Care Center to help determine which one could be the buyer. The two panels then talked things over and reportedly came to a conclusion about one of the three, but that information is being held right now until about 7:30 this morning so that affected individuals, including Ridgewood employees, can be notified. Now that the one company has been targeted for a negotiation and this potential sale, Corporation Counsel John Lehman says the next step in the process can finally be taken.
There'd be a non-binding letter of intent that would be executed by the parties, which would really then allow them, the potential buyer, to do their due diligence on financials and all of the other things like they do on every other, you know, acquisition. So the exact period of time that that'll take, I'm thinking, is somewhere between 4 and 6 weeks.
Lehman telling WRJN News a lot will go into the talks over the coming weeks as momentum starts moving the issue toward the county board. He's bringing in a legal expert who's done these kinds of sales before because it's a major one-time business move and it needs the attention. The Racine County Board, though not scheduled at this point to vote on a resolution about Ridgewood until December the 20th. The executive director of Kenosha Shalom Center is cautiously optimistic about getting an $850,000 federal home loan bank grant next month. That would mean their new homeless shelter could open up next July.
End of November, they're announcing. We checked on it. We pre-scored on it. We hired out and had it done professionally. Unless something happens and we are, for some reason, disqualified, the professional accounting firm thought that we scored higher than any grant, any of the 10 federal home loan grants they wrote this year.
Lynn Beast Carroll says homeless shelters qualify as low-income housing. In addition, a local foundation that has asked for anonymity pledged up to $500,000 toward the shelter over the next 3 years. All the architectural, construction, and environmental components for the new $1.8 million shelter on 39th Avenue are already in place. $75,000 worth of water filters are going to be made available by the City of Milwaukee to low-income families with pregnant women and children. That's to deal with lead from tap water. Mayor Tom Barrett announcing that the United Way of Greater Milwaukee and Waukesha County and four health systems are donating the money. About 70,000 homes built before 1951 get their water from mains connected to laterals made of lead. Mayor Barrett recommends that the residents of these older homes let the water run until it gets cold to reduce lead levels. Adding Racine County jail staffers will not only save on overtime costs, but also maybe improve the overall mental health of the jail population. That according to County Executive Jonathan Delagrave during a panel discussion on countywide mental health issues last night at the Ascension All Saints campus. As touched upon in his Tuesday night budget message to the county board, Delagrave noted that when the jail is short-handed, inmate health issues take a backseat to security concerns, and keeping the jail adequately staffed, that should translate, he says, into healthier inmates.
Within our mental health services at the jail, if we are potentially short-staffed, that comes secondary to public safety. So we have to make sure that we're adequately staffed in our jail so we can adequately treat our inmates with the respect and care that they need.
Delagrave's budget for next year includes proposed hiring of 10 correctional officers for reducing overtime costs. That, of course, was dealt with by supervisors. They had raised concerns earlier. Last year, 18 staff members in the jail resigned, many because of nonstop forced overtime. There's a warning out about the safety of food grown in flooded fields from Wisconsin agricultural and consumer protection officials. They say flood water contains pathogens, chemicals, or both, and it can contaminate produce directly or indirectly. Food safety spokesman Peter Hasse at the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection says that if flood water has touched the produce, it should not be sold or consumed. Producers using well water to wash their produce before it's sold should also pay attention to the condition of their well. and the American Red Cross Wisconsin regions deploying close to 36 trained volunteers and staff members in response to Hurricane Matthew striking Florida and other southern states. It includes emergency response vehicles leaving this morning from both Milwaukee and Green Bay and team members flying out of Appleton and Madison. Meanwhile, the Red Cross urging eligible blood donors in the Midwest and other parts of the country give blood or platelets to help ensure a readily available supply for needy patients in the storm-affected areas. To help the Red Cross with a donation, otherwise go online to redcross.org, call 1-800-RED-CROSS, or text the word Red Cross to 90999. That would make a $10 donation. Candidates for Racine County District Attorney squaring off at a forum last night sponsored by the Racine Interfaith Coalition. At times got a little testy, some of the members of the audience arguing with the candidates over their views. Noting that many of the people shot and killed by police around the country have been diagnosed with mental illness, the candidates were asked how the criminal justice system should deal with those who have that health problem. Democrat Tom Benger said he would create a mental illness court.
This puzzles me. A lot of other counties do. Kenosha has had one for many years. It's a grant-funded program for the state of through the state of Wisconsin, so it's not even our taxpayers that need to pay for it. I don't know why Racine doesn't have one, but that's going to be one of my top priorities if I'm elected district attorney.
Republican Trish Hansen noting Racine County has a successful mental health diversion program.
Because a mental health court forces mentally ill people to come into a very anxiety-driven situation by bringing them to the courtroom. Our plan is to screen those folks out in the morning, bring them to the new program that the county has announced just this week at the budget meeting. County Executive Jonathan Delgrave is actually buying a new facility to provide additional beds like we have in our sale program on Taylor Avenue to provide crisis counseling for people who are mentally ill.
The candidates also questioned about other diversionary programs to keep people out of jail, if marijuana should be legalized, and their track record in prosecuting violent crime. The November 8th winner to replace current DA Rich Schipetti, who decided against re-election. A Racine man, 49-year-old Harry Fumick, charged Thursday with first-degree intentional homicide for allegedly strangling a woman to death, hiding a corpse for dumping her body into a dumpster behind the Sunshine Supermarket at 16th and Taylor, plus robbery by use of force. Police contacted by a man who said he had helped Fumick dump something he later learned was a body into a dumpster under a balcony of an apartment above the grocery store. Container had already been picked up, though, by the time police got there Wednesday morning. They later recovered the victim's body at the landfill site. Fumick allegedly said that the victim had owed him money, so he wrapped an electric cord around her neck, didn't realize, though, that she was dead until she went limp. Then he's accused of going through her pockets, taking money and methadone, which he later sold. He's jailed on a $500,000 bond. We'll be back in court next Wednesday. A Racine woman charged with first-degree reckless homicide for allegedly providing the heroin that led to a Mount Pleasant man's death back on Christmas Eve. Julia Ryder also charged with delivery of heroin. The 25-year-old victim found dead in his parents' home. Criminal complaint has Ryder identified through text messages left on the victim's phone. Ryder, by the way, did not appear in court for her scheduled initial appearance. Well, more than 24 people got arrested yesterday morning, the culmination of a rather lengthy investigation into drug and gang activity in Racine and Kenosha counties.
The FBI says the gang, the Maniac Latin Disciples, operated a continuing criminal enterprise that included drug trafficking, armed robberies, and involved multiple shootings. During the raids, warrants were served in Racine, Kenosha, Mount Pleasant, Sturtevant, and Caledonia, along with New Berlin and in northern Illinois. 26 people were arrested. However, officials say two men remain at large. Cocaine and marijuana were confiscated along with three guns, ammunition, body armor, and more than $80,000 in cash. Officials say the leaders and a majority of the members of the gang were arrested. Federal and state charges are expected to be filed. Janet Hoff, AM 1400, WRJN News.
And a Racine man accused of driving his vehicle into one operated by an off-duty police officer has pleaded no contest to the charge of operating while intoxicated, causing injury. Two other charges against 38-year-old Philandric Williams dismissed, and he'll be sentenced on December the 5th. Williams' vehicle hit the back of a car being driven by now Deputy Chief Al Days, then a lieutenant back in January, causing Days to strike his head on the steering wheel. Day's car then struck a vehicle in front of it. He suffered a concussion and other injuries, but was still able to get out and go after the offending vehicle, which had stopped by that point a short distance away, and that's what led to Williams being arrested. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section. At WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.